This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So I posed a question earlier, claustrophobia or being on up high on heights, and the answer is about split, half and half. One says CAT scans, I just go to a Zen place, challenge myself to beat the machine. It becomes a contest to stay still and calm versus letting the machine win. If you've ever had a CAT scan, man, bro, that's like being in a casket. I'm telling you, I've never been in a casket, but it can't be any worse than that. Somebody else said, my big fears are losing my hair and losing my teeth, brah. Well, let me tell you, brah, you can floss to keep your teeth. Hair, there ain't nothing you can do about it, so don't worry about that. But, you know, I was talking to Walt Leger about the snowstorm and Caesars and looking at the pictures, and I've just been scrolling through my phone here. And it's hard to believe that that actually ever happened, don't you think? Especially on a day like this, that we had that much snowfall. And I remember walking around downtown and taking the pictures and how quiet it was and peaceful and still. So if you got pictures, look at them today. Maybe it'll cool you off a little bit, especially if you got some video of the snow falling while you're freezing your beans off. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk about ChatGPT and people that are turning to machines for companionship, etc. Didn't sound right, but you know what I mean. Back in a flash, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tim Zimmer better watch himself because Coleman's all over it with the music. Just saying, you know what I mean? Wally Pipp, Lou Gehrig, look it up, Google it. Dancing machine, and of course, there are, I don't know that they have machines that can dance with you, but I know some Americans, or over a third of Americans, have used chatbot like a relationship almost, to turning them for advice and even a relationship. Andrew Schwartz is our friend. He's the guru, professor of IT and EJ Uso. Yes, that is how it's pronounced before you start texting. College of Business at LSU, been researching technology-related issues for over 20 years, recently been focusing his attention on AI. How you doing, Andrew Schwartz?
Fantastic. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Let me tell you, they were nice enough to invite me to MC the Press Club Award dinner on Saturday night, and I had to write some remarks, and everything went nicely, I think, and everybody had a good time, and some people stopped me after and asked me if I wrote everything myself, which I did. But to be honest, I did go to ChatGPT and asked, just for a starting point, because the way I write things, I got to have something. I got to start with something no matter how much it sucks. Just put something down on paper. Get started. That's my process when I write something. I got to at least get started. Is that what people use ChatGPT for? Because it just, you know, welcome out this and that and the other. It's like, okay, well, that's where we start. And then from there, I didn't even use anything from ChatGPT, but it did get me going. I guess maybe we should start with, what is ChatGPT or Grok?
Sure, absolutely. So both these are examples of what we call large language models, or LLMs. They're backed up by artificial intelligence. So they're conversational agents that basically allow us to answer questions in the way we used to turn to Google or other sources. It's the latest incarnation of a way to help us to acquire information.
Or even Uncle George's Encyclopedia Britannica across the street that I used to go use, that?
Absolutely. Okay. I'll give you an example. But before I do that, I just say, Tommy, I'm impressed. The last time we talked, you were talking about, downloading apps and being resistant to this. So yeah. I'm glad to hear that you turned to ChatGPT this. What a move.
It was Saturday morning and I was desperate. I had kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So I had to get something done. So it's like, well, at least just start here, and that'll at least give me where you would begin with this. So I said, welcome speech to awards dinner, and it started. I didn't really like what was there, but at least it gave me a jumping off point.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a whole range of reasons why we can use this type of technology, and brainstorming is certainly one. I can even tell you just very boring examples. Like, for example, with all the rain that we've been having in South Louisiana, I've been struggling to get my pool spa chemistry right. So I put all my information into ChatGPT and said, give me a recommendation on how to improve my spa chemistry. And it came up with a maintenance schedule, and it came up with what I needed to do to improve the chemistry. So from the very arcane to the brainstorming, there's so many different uses that we have for this kind of technology.
See, that's the kind of thing. Hang on, Coleman. That's the kind of thing we need to have a radiothon for, or a telethon for, so that Andrew Schwartz can get his pH right in his pool spa. Right. That's the kind of thing we need to raise some money for. So let's set up the donation center right now. I'm just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time.
Absolutely.
It is an app that you download, right? I think. I don't know if I did that, or yeah. I don't know if it's on Siri. One thing that did surprise me, and you'll be proud of me, I forgot to set the turn the alarm off when I got in the shower the other morning, and it was running. So I said, Siri, stop. And it did stop the alarm. I didn't know the phone was able to do that, which makes me ask you, how many different things are there? And I just bought a new car. I'm going to spend a week of vacation figuring out how to use it. How hard is it to learn this new technology? And is there a technology that is available to help us learn new technology, as circuitous as that may sound?
It is not indeed. It's actually a very good question. So there's a lot. First of all, it is an app that you download, or it's a website. Mm-hmm. It's ChatGPT. If you Google it, you'll come to the website, or you put in that at your app store. You can also download similar approaches. Like, there's a Google Gemini, which is similar. There's also Grok, which you brought up. So there's a variety of these different technologies. So you download the app, or you go to the website, and you start to ask questions. Now, if it's intriguing to you, if you start to ask questions and say, well, what else can I use this for? That's where things get interesting. And that's where you can turn to. I think I find YouTube and LinkedIn to be two great sources of inspiration for when I see what people are able to accomplish with it.
So when it comes to people turning to this thing for advice, let me take a break here. We'll pick it up. We come back. When Jordan Fiegel, who's on vacation, when he was interviewing for the job to be the producer, I said, you know, one thing you have to be willing to do is tell me when to go blank myself, or when I'm full of you know what, because that's part of the job, right? My concern is with ChatGPT or Grok, that sometimes it's it's based on what you fed it, so they're going to tell you what you want to hear, whether it's true or not. We'll talk about it a lot when we come back. And if y'all have any questions, look, there are no dumb questions when it comes to this. That's what Andrew is here for. He's a professor of IT in the E.J. Uso College of Business at LSU. And I've proved already there are no dumb questions. Somebody wants to know about Gronk. First of all, they're calling it Gronk. Gronk is the football player. Grok is the app. And they want to know if it's programmed to give Nazi responses. You can respond to that when we come back, or if that's what people fed it and how do they get the responses. 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're spending an hour talking with Andrew Schwartz, professor of IT in the E.J. Uso College of Business at LSU, about ChatGPT or Grok, and over half of young people saying they've used them. And some people even turn to them for advice and even friendship and relationships. Somebody asked earlier about Grok being programmed to give Nazi responses. What was going on with that?
Absolutely. Andrew? So we have to keep in mind the way that artificial intelligence works is that it takes a set of data, a lexicon of data, if you will, and it tries to make sense of that data. So it's trying to basically act like it created the data that it's being fed or being suggested to it. So the way that Grok was created was Grok was fed all the tweets and all the things from X. So that's how it learned what it thinks is.
Well, wait, let me slow you down a little bit. When you say feeding it and teaching it, who where does it come from? Where does that information come from that goes into Grok or goes into ChatGPT?
So, sure, if we take something like X, right, so if you go into Twitter, it used to be Twitter, right, and you tweet something out, that goes into the ecosystem of Twitter. Mm-hmm. Well, then Grok, since Grok is owned by the same parent company, mm-hmm. Grok takes all that Twitter data, and what they do is they use mathematical algorithms to try to understand the constitution of the sentence that was posted onto Twitter. So that's how it creates, quote-unquote, intelligence. So it's only learns what it's been taught. It's kind of like a kid in a certain context, right?
Like repeating curse words almost?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So here was the problem. Here was the problem with Grok. They started asking questions about how people viewed Jews, for example. And coming from a family in which Ted was subject to the Holocaust, this is kind of troubling, right?
It basically
You're
talking about
Grok claims that yes,
yeah,
example.
Okay.
So when asked about Jews, Grok said that Jews promote hatred toward white people. It also said that all Jews should be in camps. It says that the Holocaust wasn't real. It's basing that because people on Twitter said those same things. It has defended Hitler, saying Hitler was a good person. Mm. All that is because Twitter has had posts that claim the same thing.
What part of your family, Andrew? I always like to hear stories. Tell me about the part of your family that was involved with the Holocaust.
Yeah, absolutely. So my grandparents were sixth grade educated farmers that lived in Hungary. The Russians came in during World War II and they escaped actually into West Germany. And my father was born in a displaced persons camp during the Holocaust. So he spent his first 18 months in a rail car. Mm. They came over to America and my grandparents actually got jobs in the factory. And so my grandfather was a trucker and my grandmother actually worked for Chef Boyardee Pizza. My dad was the first ever to go to high school and college. And I'm the first ever to get a PhD in my family history. So we actually went to the Holocaust Museum in D.C. and I actually saw the location of where my dad was actually born. And he passed away in December. But next year we're going to go back to that little village and we're going to spread his ashes in around the rail car where he actually spent his first 18 months of his life.
I'm sorry for your loss, but that's an amazing story, Andrew. It really is, and I think it speaks to everything that America can be and should be, honestly. It really
Absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely. And that's why I believe in the promise of the people, right? I believe that AI is not going to replace us. I view AI as co-intelligence. And if they're interested, there's a fantastic book by a professor at University of Pennsylvania who talks about this concept. The idea of AI really is not to replace us. Mm-hmm. It's how can I use it to, like you did, brainstorm? How can I use it to diagnose my pool? How can I use it even for bigger things? For example, I was watching a demo yesterday of that same professor from Pennsylvania who took a business idea. And he went from a concept to a pitch document in less than an hour, all using AI.
Wow.
Market analysis, financial projections, hiring plans, AI helped him do it all. And the reason why that's so interesting is you can then focus on running your business not on the esoterics and the day-to-day annoyances that you really have to focus on.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because here's a question I have. How do you know that what you're basing these decisions on is factual and true and real? And we'll figure it out when we come back. Andrew Schwartz, I guess. Fascinating story. Professor of ITEJ USO College of Business at LSU. We'll continue your conversation about ChatGPT or Grok when we return. Right now, time for WWL First News. 8:39, 21 till 9. Somebody texted and said that they use ChatGPT as a therapist, which I guess it's good. Other people have relationships with ChatGPT. So I guess if it just feeds your ego maybe and tells you what you want to hear, it's good. I don't get that, but I can see where it can be an idea generator and help you maybe bounce some ideas, and it'll give you, I guess, we'll talk when we come back with our guests, see if maybe it'll give you the cons of something, if it'll argue with you or not. Because that's what I would want, somebody that would argue with me, not agree with me. We'll continue the conversation about Grok and ChatGPT with Andrew Schwartz, professor of IT and the E.J. Uso College of Business at LSU. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Andrew Schwartz, professor of IT and the E.J. Uso College of Business at LSU. A chatbot. Somebody texted and said, what is a chatbot? So I went to AI, Andrew, to find out, and it said a chatbot is a computer program designed to simulate conversation with a human user, typically through text or voice interfaces. However, I also saw a story about a lawyer that got in trouble for using a chatbot to cite a precedent in a legal proceeding that didn't exist. And then now he's facing sanctions from the judge because the judge says this is an extraordinary circumstance. So that leads to my question before we went to the break, which is, so I'm, you know, I want to defend myself in court and I'm looking for a precedent. So I ask a chatbot for something and it gives it to me, which is non-existent. It just made it up. Tell me what the checks and balances are on this to make sure that what you get from these things is accurate.
Right. So you bring up a very, very good point, which is the issue of checks and balances and the issue of what it knows. So if we go back to our earlier conversation around how it, quote unquote, learns, and I'm putting that in print in quotation marks because it's really learning with math, right? Mm-hmm. If it isn't taught something, us as humans, we say, I don't know the answer to that question. All this AI, however, isn't aware of its own limitations. So it doesn't know what it doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So it makes it up. And we call that a hallucination.
I call it
now,
human.
Overall,
just kidding. Go ahead.
Now, overall, I can tell you that hallucinations overall have been reduced. We've seen with the newer models, there's a lot more around that where it'll begin to admit. I'm not sure about that. Or you can ask for its level of confidence in the answer. But we're seeing that get better. Now, the issue of a chatbot, however, is a much different phenomenon than like ChatGPT specifically. And let me give you an example. A chatbot can be used, as one example, by a company. So I just got a new washer and dryer, right? And as everyone does when they get a new washer and dryer, I opened it up, I installed it, and I threw away the manual. And then I realized I have to figure out how to use this. So a chatbot could be on, like, for example, the manufacturer's website. I could go in and say, how do I set a cycle for delicates? Mm-hmm. And the chatbot could be programmed with all the manuals so that you simply ask it a question and it responds. Or let's say if it's broken, I can go to chatbot and say, set an appointment for me to have someone come out and look at the washer because here's the symptoms. The chatbot could decipher whether or not you need a technician or it could help you potentially solve the problem. So that's how a chatbot is a very narrowly focused kind of targeted area, and businesses are using them for customer engagement.
So when it comes to somebody texting and said they use it for therapy, it helps. But right. Does it, or I want something to argue with me. That's why, you know, I told Jordan when he was interviewing for the job, you got to tell me when I'm full of myself, when I'm wrong. Will a chatbot tell you when you're wrong, or will it argue with you?
It all depends on the question that you ask of it. If you're going to ask it to debate you, or if you're going to ask it for information. Now, so you have to step back though sometimes and say, all right, why are we looking to chatbots for therapy? Like, what's happening society-wise that's really leading to the phenomenon? So there's some underlying issues society-wise that are driving, I think, this adoption of therapy and looking to AI for therapy.
Explain a little bit deeper, please.
Well, absolutely. So I'm going to focus specifically on men, since that's something that obviously as a man myself, right? Yeah. Let's think about the idea of a friendship, for example. If you look at the percentage of men with six or more close friends, in 1990, 55% of men had six close friends. Today, it's 27%. Mm. In 1990, 3% of men said they had no friends. Today, it's 15%. Mm. 1 in 7 men say they have no friends outside their family. 1 in 10 women have the same thing. What does that tell you about loneliness and the need for emotional coping skills? We have an issue with loneliness in the country. We have an issue with friendship in the country. We have an issue with relationships in the country. So it shows that people are turning to these platforms because the traditional approaches that we're using aren't working.
Would a chatbot teach me game? Would it give me game if I was looking to start dating somebody?
Oh, absolutely.
It would.
So, absolutely. If you go on and ask it for dating advice, it would be more than helpful in that kind of area. And if you want an example, like
advice like get a facelift, grow taller, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it could tell you, for example, maybe alternative ways to think about your profile on Match.com, or think about different dates that you could go on that are different. It could help you think about unique ways to date that maybe you haven't thought of before.
It would help you write a profile?
Absolutely right.
Write that down, Coleman. We're writing a profile. We're getting a new profile for, and then we're going to use one of those apps to touch up the headshot. They won't know who it is at the restaurant. Let me take a break. I want to talk about this story in the New York Times. It's kind of disturbing about a man and a woman who are married, and she started to have an affair with ChatGPT, and her husband got jealous, and I don't understand how that can happen. And they sent dirty messages to each other, did the chatbot and this lady, and I don't know. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:50, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56, Tommy Tucker, WWL, spending a fascinating hour, as always, with Andrew Schwartz, professor of IT and E.J. Uso, College of Business at LSU, talking about chat bots. And this woman in New York, New York Times story from January of this year, apparently had a, behind her husband's back, had an affair with, or did she, with ChatGPT, because I don't know who what exactly was she having a conversation with here. Ones and zeros? I mean, that's what it was, right?
Well, so apparently, according to the story, she was feeling lonely, and so she was reaching out to ChatGPT for questions of how do I deal with loneliness and depression, which I think a lot of people will deal with, right?
Sure.
It's a reasonable thing. But as we all know, emotional affairs start when you feel that emotional connection between you and something else. And what we're seeing increasingly with research is that these technologies are becoming, we call, they're becoming almost human-like in their attributes of how we respond and how we relate to them. It's called anthropomorphism. It's almost like looking at technology as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So she started to get emotionally invested in this technology because it was providing her with emotional support. And that harkens back to the conversation we just had.
But let me interrupt for 1 second. What was giving her emotional support? A series of electricity, electronics, and zeros and ones? What was it exactly, if you can tell me, Andrew, where was this coming from?
Sure, absolutely. Now, of course, we don't have access to her to her specific chat.
But generally speaking, when it comes to a chatbot. Yeah.
So I talked to other therapists who are using similar technologies, and what they report is that people are going on and reporting symptoms of anxiety or loneliness, or I'm feeling a certain way. Help me understand why I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing that, if you ask ChatGPT, why am I feeling this way, it's going to begin to ask you a series of questions. And so you're going to begin to think about it and analyze your own behavior. Mm-hmm. And from that, because you're looking to the source of what's asking those questions, and you get emotionally attached to it. I guess it's either that or go to a Coldplay concert. Your choice.
I guess it's kind of like it's funny. The old thing, the joke about the psychiatrist. What do you think it means to you, right? Where it's like, well, I had a dream that I was, riding a horse. Well, what does it mean to you?
Absolutely.
They try to get you to do the inflection, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not inflection. What do you call it? Introspection.
A reflection.
Yeah.
So, and if you look at counseling today, the paradigm of counseling is called cognitive-based therapy that most therapists use, which is if you start to change the behavior that you want to change, the action, the feelings then come alongside that when you change the behavior. So if you start to think about therapy in that lens, it starts to make sense why you would turn to something like that for advice. And from everything from alcoholism to dealing with, you know, with a kid maybe that you're struggling with, these are all opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the rise of ChatGPT specifically in use cases, we are seeing that these things are coming to the surface again. So that's interesting that they're coming to the surface. And it's interesting that if you look at the trend overall, what has led to it, it's too easy to say COVID, you know, that's, mm-hmm. that's a simplistic thing. But there's a more underlying issue that society-wise is how we're viewing our interaction with technology and our dependence upon technology.
We're going to have to pick it up here next time, Alex. I got to tell you, Andrew, rather, one thing that I think is very impressive is that at least I understood a little bit about what I was talking about this time. Don't you think we're making
a job, Tommy?
Huh? We're making progress, aren't we?
Job.
Yeah.
You are, man. And so I want you and all your readers to do something new with ChatGPT before we talk again. And I
will do
all
it.
About it.
We'll do it. All right. Thank you. We'll come back, talk about some stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.